In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. There's a wedding. There's a celebration between the bridegroom and his bride. The hall is gorgeous, the floors covered in gold, walls studded with jewels. The gates themselves are made out of the finest pearls. There's a feast, for every good wedding has good food. There's music. The music is angelic. The guests are perfect, well-dressed, well-behaved. The king has spared no expense. A loving father has prepared all for his most beloved son, and he wants you there. The call goes out, all is ready, all is prepared. There is nothing more you need to do or bring but yourself. Come to the feast. And men think this call is too foolish. The gospel itself is foolishness to the world. This strange call does not mesh with man's ideas, and on top of it all, the bride herself, while she was a harlot. God did not choose the good things of this world. He did not choose the wise. He did not choose the beautifully dressed. But he chose that woman who stood in the streets, prostituting herself out for her own personal gain. She is chosen by grace. The world will not get this. The call continues to go out, and they do not see this wedding hall. They have not documented the glass or the golden floors or those walls. They do not get it. They have not seen it because no scientist has ever ventured into that hall. St. John has. The Apostle Paul has. Ezekiel has. Isaiah has. And they have written about that. That does not count for the world. They want to see it with their own two eyes, and so they reject this call. They're stuck in the streets, not in the wedding hall. Stuck in the streets, this call seems too good to be true, and all they see are the servants of the king, those lowly men. Those men who themselves have problems and difficulties, quirks and idiosyncrasies. And they do not understand why they should come. So many simply ignore the call. They're not violent. They're not attacking Christianity. In fact, they'll stand up and defend our right to invite others to this hall, but they themselves, well, they're too busy. They have too much going on with kids or with family or with work, and on the weekend they just want to sit and relax. It's too much to get out and to go to church for 1 hour. And besides, they really like it in the streets. They like the way of life. They like the things that are going on, and not many people want to get fully dressed up, stuffy and stiff, and enter a wedding banquet when there's enough fun and entertainment right there where they are. They're spiritual, not religious. Others are violent. They do attack the servants of the king. They beat, mock, kill them, even as Cain killed Abel. It's no different in our day. They cannot stand the fact that many believe in a gorgeous wedding hall when it has never been documented, or at least documentation to their satisfaction. They cannot stand the fact that the bride herself was a prostitute. It's beneath them to enjoy such a banquet. They're better than that. And so they attack the king by attacking the servants. They fight against the king. They disguise it by fighting against all religions. They chalk up all religions to the opium of the masses as corrupt individuals got hold of authority and did whatever they could to keep it as theirs. Through policies, laws, and demonstrations, they try to convince the world that it would be far better to have no religions at all. They don't want to hear this invitation. And here we sit patting ourselves on the back because we are here and they are not. It is not beyond us to become apathetic. It is not beyond us to despise the word of God. If it were, he wouldn't have given us the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. It is not beyond us to turn Christianity into a cultural thing, a Sunday thing only, and then throughout the rest of our lives, the rest of the week, we live in the streets. And that is why Jesus himself tacked on that man who is improperly dressed. It is not good enough to simply sit here. It's a matter of the heart. Is the heart clothed, or is it only a veneer of Christianity? We don't want to stand out. We don't want to be that religious freak who is standing up at stadiums holding up their John 3:16 signs. We want to distance ourselves from them. And so we take off these wedding garments and act like the world. We say things to get a rise out of people. Perhaps it's just the youth, perhaps not. We act like them to show them that we are just a normal guy, no different than they. What are we doing but rejecting the invitation of our King? Taking off those garments. It's not beyond us to become apathetic just because our parents were Christian or Lutheran. Doesn't mean that we should be. God needs the heart. It's not a cultural thing or a parental thing. We are here to feast. The King sees past this veneer. We cannot, but he does. He sees past it. So if some would rather remain in the streets than in his banquet hall, then he will bind them hand and foot and cast them out into those blackened streets where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is what they wanted. They didn't want the feast of the King, and now they get what they justly deserve. They rejected his invitation, and the Lord himself will set them and their streets on fire. His wrath will consume. And it's not just the terrorists. It's not just those who fight physically against the church or legislatively. It is the apathetic as well. It is the hypocrites, those who are in the church but not of the church. Those who are in the hall but not properly dressed, for they desire to live in the streets. God is extremely patient with them and with us. He is extremely patient. He desires that no one be cast into outer darkness. 70, 80, 90 years go by, and he patiently calls them to come and feast. But finally with them, with those who continue to reject his word, his patience runs out. And it is not beyond us to reject that word as well. The kingdom of heaven is like a man, a king, who prepares a magnificent feast for his son. Yes, he will punish those who do not want to come, but do not overlook the fact that he has graciously prepared a feast. He did not have to create this world, much less put you in it. And after our forefather Adam wandered out into the streets of this world, he did not have to prepare another banquet, much less invite us to it. But he did. He did by grace. It is by grace that you are saved. It is by grace that this king has sacrificed his oxen and fattened cattle. That is what that word butchered means. It's not the normal word for slaughtering an animal, but it's the word that has religious connotations behind it. It's the word to sacrifice it to a god. The sacrifice has been made. It is that sacrifice that grants us entrance into the wedding hall of the king. Not an oxen, not a fattened cow, but the sacrifice of the Lamb, who is our atoning sacrifice, and not only ours, but for the whole world. All is prepared, all is won, not only for you, but for all people. So come and feast. It is this very sacrifice whose blood has atoned and made pure that harlot bride. He has cleansed her. He has made her pure and holy, bestowing on her a radiant gown without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish. All is ready. Come to the feast. Leave those streets behind. Leave your street smarts behind. And in humble childlike faith, come. The King desires to bless you. He has prepared a magnificent feast out of his wealth, and he bids you to come. Who would turn down such a gracious invitation? There is room for all. Room for you, room for your neighbors, room for all. His wedding hall will be filled. He does not invite the good, but he invites the good and the bad, the righteous and the unrighteous, the moral and the completely immoral. He invites those with baggage, those with burdens, those who are soiled and dirtied and filthy from a life of sin. Come and feast. It is by grace that he has prepared a banquet for you and for them. Do not overlook the fact that he continues to send out his servants to us. We lament the condition of American Christianity, and rightly so. There is much to lament about their way of life and their teachings. We lament the direction society has taken, and rightly so. There is much to grieve over. But do not overlook the fact that he still sends faithful servants. He still scatters faithful servants throughout this world who preach the very words that God himself has put into their mouths. They direct you away from the streets and into the hall, that gorgeous wedding hall. Come, all things are now ready. Blessed are they who are invited. Blessed are you who has been invited to this wedding supper of the Lamb. They shall rejoice forever. You will rejoice forever, for the bridegroom has his bride, the church, Christ has his church, the second Adam has his Eve, the husband has his wife, man has his woman, created from his side, purified from that crimson flood. She is flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. They are not two, but they are one, Christ and his church. He is the head, she is his body. The Father did not choose the most beautiful woman out there, but he chose the ugly, disgraceful, unfaithful woman. And then he made her pure and holy by grace. In the font, she became the bride of Christ. In the font, filled with that blood flowing from Christ's pierced side, she was made pure and holy. It is the sacrifice of her bridegroom which has cleansed her. He has made the undesirable desirable, the unlovable lovely, the filthy clean. He has given her worth. It is this bride that St. John sees and records in Revelation. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming from down from heaven, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad, for the wedding supper of the Lamb has come. The bride has made herself ready. Fine linens, bright and clean, were given her to wear. Who is this bride? Who is this bride of Christ? Who is this woman who surpasses all earthly brides in beauty, splendor, glory, and grace? Who is this woman who once was a prostitute but is now no more? She is those who have come out of the great tribulation. She is those who have come out of the streets of the world. She has washed her robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, in the blood of her bridegroom. She is the church of God, the very bride of Christ. She is the new Eve who will live forever. In joy of joys, she is you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.